That's what it's all about, spending that time with Christ. Thank you for that song. It is, praise Him. Thank you for that song. I appreciate that. It's actually going to go along with the message tonight. Go to Psalms chapter number 40. The Bible's got a lot to say about the right kind of music. Amen. But sadly, there's a lot of churches today where the wrong kind of music has taken over. The wrong kind of music has crept in. And even in independent, quote-unquote, fundamental Baptist churches, there's a lot of contemporary Christian music that's being sang, and they think they're praising God. They may not have the drums. They may not have the electric guitars. They may even put it just to piano and spiritualize it. But that doesn't make it right. And we're going to talk about that tonight. The new song of a Christian is going to be the title of the message. The new song of a Christian. Psalms chapter 40. When you get there, stand with me if you would. Psalms chapter number 40. Music is something that I'm concerned about across the board. We go to a lot of events, church camp, youth conference. Brother Roe and I get opportunities several times to go to preachers' meetings. And I can't tell you how many times we've heard in those meetings, even at camp, where a church group will sing a contemporary song put to a piano. Right. They'll sneak one in. We got to be mindful. We got to be careful. Because when we allow these things to sneak in, then many times they become gateways. And the dam will break. And other things are allowed into the church. Many times a church will go liberal, first and foremost in its music department. And then it starts tailspinning from there. Psalms chapter 40, verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Aren't you thankful for the day that God saved you? Amen. And the pit that He digged you out of. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. The miry clay is like sinking sand. We were constantly trying to get out ourselves, but we couldn't. We're constantly being drawn back in. What did He do? He set my feet upon a rock. He gave me stability. He gave me sturdiness. He gave me security. Set my feet upon a rock, and He established my going. That means He gave me direction. He gave me discernment. Look at verse 3 now. After He saves us, after He establishes us, gets us set where we need to be. And by the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18, the Bible says He had set the members in the body as it pleased Him. Meaning that when He set our feet upon a rock, that rock is Jesus Christ. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And so we can make, by way of application, not over spiritualizing the text, but we can make application that after you got saved, God put you in a good church. We can make the application here. Because the same terms are used biblically. Set my feet upon a rock. Establish my goings. Where do I get direction? I get it from the preaching of the Word of God. From the Sunday school hour. From the teaching of the Word of God. I get it from my daily devotion time. How do I learn how to do that? In church, you learn that. In verse 3, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Notice, after He established us, the very first thing that He addressed, after He established my goings, He set me in the right direction, the very first thing that He addressed was not the idea as far as our standards of dress and how we present ourselves. That was not mentioned first. The first thing that He does is He changes our song. He changes our music. He changes our desire. Because your music that you listen to and the music that you sing will determine the dress that you wear every time. You listen to worldly songs, you're going to dress worldly. You listen to godly songs, Christian songs, biblical songs, scripture. You listen to biblical songs, you're going to want to dress to please your God. You can tell a lot about a person, yes, by how they dress. Amen. But you can tell a whole lot more about a person by the music they listen to. You can tell a lot about what they listen to, and we're going to talk about that tonight. The new song of a Christian. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Lord, help us. There's so much I want to share with your people tonight. It's going to be a thicker message. It's going to be a heavier message with some truths, some doctrine in reference to music. I'm going to reference a lot of things. I'm going to try to stick to the notes as best I can. But God, I want to help your people. I know there's several in here that have gotten some things right in their lives and they're wanting to change the music they listen to. They're wanting to change the direction. There's been several we've gotten some good music to over the last month. God, I pray that you'd help us to follow these guidelines that we're going to look at tonight. Use us, guide us, teach us. We ask these things. Let me pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Many Christians today struggle with standards. Standards of dress, standards of music, our modesty, standards of our communication, our manners. We struggle with these things. But many a times, the reason for the struggle lies in the heart condition of the believer. The reason they struggle with standards, the reason you and I struggle with our music or our dress, or somebody says something and we begin to take certain things to heart, we begin to think that, oh, the preacher's just picking on me again. Woe is me. It's because we have a heart condition. Now, God's Word is not, and I'll state this clearly, God's Word is not a list of do's and don'ts for the Christian. Okay? The Word of God is a love letter to us. It is not necessarily a rule book for us to have to follow. Okay? We choose to follow the Word of God. Yes, pay attention to me now. Yes, there are standards in the Bible. Okay, there are commandments in the Bible. And there are rules in the Word of God. But if we get our heart right with God, we're not going to struggle with the rules as much because we'll understand we have a relationship. Are you listening? Okay? I need you all to focus tonight. Don't play mind games. Just focus and listen to the Word of God as it's being preached. When a person has an attitude towards the standards of the Word of God, the root of the problem is a rebellion and an unwillingness to be obedient to a holy God. Some of you have turned me off already because I've already mentioned standards several times. All right? That's because of rebellion in your heart. Pay attention. Okay? Standards don't make you more spiritual. Standards make you a safer Christian. Standards are guidelines. They are walls that we build to make us safer in our walk with God. They don't make us better than anybody. Just because I wear a tie to church doesn't make me better than somebody who does not. Okay? Just because I listen to the right kind of music does not make me better than somebody who does not. It makes me a safer Christian. Because I'm not filling my mind with the things of this world, then I'm not going to be polluted by the things of the world. Okay? Because I'm not speaking the things of the world, the Bible says evil communication corrupt good manners. You have somebody who doesn't say please and thank you and yes sir and no sir. You got somebody who's got bad manners and they lack manners. I guarantee you they got evil communication. Why? Because it's a biblical truth. It's Bible. Okay? And it starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. Once we get saved, the Spirit of God begins to clean us up. One of the first things that He does, according to your Bible, in verse number 3, is He puts a new song in our mouth. And this new song is one that praises our God. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, verse number 3 says. Just like the song that Daisy sang a moment ago. And I talked to Him today. There's clarity in that song, and I'll explain all that here in just a moment. There's no vagueness. There's no generality in that song. We know exactly what it was meant to be talking about. We'll get to the contemporary music in a moment, and I'll show you exactly what I'm referencing. Music is mentioned over 500 times in your Bible in various forms. Through the words song, sang, sung, singing, singeth, all these different forms. They're mentioned over 500 times. Now listen, if God mentions something once, it's important for us. But for God to mention over 500 times, that means we ought to perk up and pay attention. The Bible even tells us, write this down and look it up later, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17. Zephaniah 3:17, the Bible says that God sings. He glories over His children with singing. So God even sings. Now, if God sings, the music must be very important to God. By the way, don't forget, take your Bibles, go ahead and look with me there. Ezekiel chapter 28. In your Bible, it's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Not only does God sing, but God created Lucifer with pipes. He created him to be musical. And we know that Lucifer fell and he was Satan. He is Satan. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse number 13. Here, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. That's the garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Okay? Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. Here, Lucifer was very beautiful. Satan has not got red horns and a tail and a pitchfork. That's Hollywood. He's a beautiful being. He's presented himself as harmless. The workmanship of thy tabourets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So here he has pipes that were created in him. Now we've all referenced the fact that when somebody can sing and they belt it out, man, they got some pipes on them, right? You've heard the phrase. Meaning that he could sing and he could sing well. Why do you think music is one of the greatest influences in the world today? Anywhere you go and anything that is done, music is somewhere being played. The vast majority of the time. You go to a basketball game and in the dead time there's music that's being played. You go to a football game, in the dead time, there's music that's being played. Why? To amp up the crowd. To cancel out the deadness. There's noise. You go to Walmart, you go to Lowe's, you go to any of these stores, there's music being played over the speakers. Constantly. And I'll guarantee it's not the right kind of music. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub. That's where we get the fact that Lucifer is a cherubim. That covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Here, the Bible tells us that Lucifer was made with pipes. He was created with musical talents. Over in 2 Corinthians, you can write this out down and look it up later. We don't have time to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, the Bible tells us that Satan can make himself into an angel of light. And he even makes his messengers into angels of light. Meaning that he can present himself as something that is, quote unquote, spiritual. He's the master deceiver. He operates by way of deception. Now take your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Let's get to the doctrine of music and I'll explain several things to you here tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19. Ephesians 5, 19. The Bible tells us here, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Two books to the right over in the book of Colossians. You'll find in chapter 3, verse number 16, almost the same thing. Reference. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Here in these two verses, you're going to find three of the four types of songs that are mentioned in your Bible. There are four types of songs or four types of music that is mentioned in your Bible. We've seen the first three, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let me explain those to you. Psalms would be the Word of God set to music. In case you did not know, the book of Psalms is a Jewish song book. These were songs that were sang to a holy God. You can go to several different passages in your Bible and you can see where the children of Israel sang songs to the Lord. Exodus chapter number 15 is one of them, where they sang a song of deliverance to God. Over in 1 Samuel, you'll find where David had sang several songs to the Lord. Many of them were songs of sorrow. Many of them were songs of deliverance. Many of them were songs as Saul was persecuting him and chasing after him. But these are psalms, the Word of God set to music. And we are told that that is one of the types of music that we're to speak to ourselves in. Psalms. Secondly, We have hymns. Hymns are what we sing here in church. The hymn book here. As a matter of fact, take your Bible, go with me to the book of Matthew. We've referenced this verse. Many of you know this verse. You know exactly where I'm going. Matthew chapter number 26. Well, Matthew chapter number 26. Verse number 30. We reference this anytime we have the Lord's Supper here. Jesus Christ sang hymns when he was here on earth with his church. This is why we sing hymns from the old hymn book in church. Because that's what Jesus did with his church. We're not going to put the words on the monitors, although we have the monitors here. We want God's people to learn how to read music. We want you to be able to see the songs yourself. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse number 30. And when they had sung and, what's the word? Hymn. When they had sung an hymn. That is one of the types of music that is referenced. They went out into the Mount of Olives. A hymn here, we have a hymn book here. And several years ago, we invested in these hymn books, good quality hymn books. Brother Jack Treber and his church put these out, North Valley Publications. We invested in these because these hymns, other than your Bible and next to your Bible, this is probably one of the most inspired books that you'll ever hold in your hands. That's my opinion, and I'll say it over and over and over again till the day that I die. I believe these hymns, many of them are inspired by the very finger of God. Okay? Because of the doctrine that's in them, because of the truth that's in them, because of the things that are spoken that directly correlate with Scripture. We sing hymns before or during the service to prepare our hearts for the ministering of the Word of God. Okay? And the Bible tells us that's what we're supposed to do. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what your Bible says. Okay? Then thirdly, we have spiritual songs. That'd be the song like what Daisy had just sang a moment ago. Good spiritual songs, they're not psalms in your Bible. They're not hymns that we would sing with a hymn book. But they are good godly songs that would be suitable for a church service. There are songs that have been studied, that have been researched. And by the way, we're not going to sing any songs here that has an origin in the contemporary Christian music. We're not going to sing any songs here at our church that has an origin in the world. Okay, all the songs, we're going to research them. We're going to study them out. We're going to make sure that the people that are writing the songs that we sing are people who are not making a name for themselves in the world as far as contemporary Christian music is sung. But rather, they're going to be songs that are glorifying to God. They're going to be songs that have honor to our God. Spiritual songs. These are songs that are suitable for our church services. We'll get to naming some names here in just a moment, but I want to lay the foundation for you. Now take your Bible and go to Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Psalms in the middle of your Bible. Then Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7. Verse number 5. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 7. Verse number 5. This is the fourth type of song that is mentioned in your Bible. Here it says, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." Here, the Bible references the song of a fool. Now, over in the book of Psalms, I believe it's in chapter number 58, it also mentions the song of a drunkard. Okay? But the Bible says, "Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." So that would be classified as the song of a fool as well. But here we have the song of a fool. This would be labeled as anything else. Anything that is not a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song. So this would reference your contemporary Christian music. This would reference your country music, your rock, your hip-hop, your R&B, your jazz, your techno, your disco back in the day. Okay? It'll reference all these different types of music, different genres that are out there. Now, music has three parts, just like man has three parts. You know, man is made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. Music has three separate parts. They have the melody, the harmony, and the rhythm. Okay? As far as music, let me give you a little music lesson here. There are four different types of singers. There's sopranos and altos, which are ladies, and there's tenors and basses, which are men. The soprano always sings the melody or the lead line. The alto and tenor always sing the harmony. Okay? They harmonize. And then the bass is always singing the low note, the rhythm. The boom, 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 boom. The rhythm, okay? He's keeping things in time, keeping things in tune. So you have melody, you have harmony, and you have rhythm. Now, here's how these things relate. Go ahead and put Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 back up there. I won't have people turn. Just look. Melody speaks to your spirit. Okay? The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your, what's the next word? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay? The spirit of a man is where your heart is at. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Okay? When we got saved, God created in us a new heart. He circumcised, therefore, the foreskins of our heart in Jeremiah chapter number 4, and he put inside of us a new heart, a heart that was wholly given unto him. We covered that several weeks ago on a Sunday, I believe a Sunday morning. Melody speaks to our hearts. Christ-honoring music is music that will affect your heart and your spirit. It will move the spirit of a man. Christ-honoring music is music that will move the spirit of a man. By the way, if your foot starts tapping before your spirit gets moved, it's probably ungodly. Okay? Your body's not supposed to move before your spirit moves. Amen. So your spirit is moved by the melody. Harmony, then, the second part of music, speaks to the second part of the man. It speaks to the soul. This is where your mind, your will, and your emotions are at. Okay? Harmony speaks to the soul. This is why some music is referenced as soul music. Anybody ever heard that term? Soul music. Got a chance when we took the ladies down to Walls, Mississippi. Brother Anthony and myself and my two kids, we went up to Memphis. We got to go tour the Bass Pro Shop that was up there, but we also went to where the Grizzly Stadium was, right off of Beale Street there in Memphis. Beale Street is where you find soul music. All right? It's where the birth of R&B was. It's where the birth of a lot of those types of music. It is a mini Nashville up and down Beale Street. Okay? I don't know if you've ever been to Memphis or not. But just about every place that we went to in a 2-block period, we're just walking down through there, every place was playing some kind of music, and most of it was jazz or country western. And we're like, man, we got enough of this. We're leaving. It was not a place we wanted to be. Well, we were just walking around the area trying to find out what all was downtown. Soul music would be referenced as country, western, jazz, R&B music. This is music that affects you emotionally. Why do you think every country song talks about a dead dog and a broken relationship? Even the old ones. You go all the way back to Hank Williams Sr. There's a tear in my beer because I'm crying for you, dear. You are always on my mind. Yeah, the guy sang it when he's drunk. All right. These are songs that deal with the emotions. These are songs that will many times get you fired up. They're emotional. By the way, there's a lot of contemporary Christian music that is emotionally based. There are some people who think they can't have a meeting with God without getting their emotions all riled up. Okay? We've got to make sure that our music is right. God did make us with emotions, yes, but emotions ought not guide your music. Amen. Emotions ought not guide your decisions. Truth, principles guide our decisions. All right, are we following along? Okay. Next, we talked about melody referring to the spirit. We talked about harmony referring to the soul. Now, rhythm affects the body. Rhythm affects your physicality. This is where rock music is at. Rap music, hip hop. Some people refer to it as dance music. Techno, disco. These things affect you physically. They get the body moving. They get the body gyrating. Take your Bibles. Go to Exodus chapter number 32. This is nothing new. This isn't a new truth. This is something that was dealt with even back in Scripture. Exodus chapter number 32. You're going to have the first rock concert in Exodus 32. Now, these are things that speak to the physicality. My son and I got an opportunity to go to a Thunder game several years ago. It was so loud in that stadium. Not just from the cheering, just the music. It was loud. Overwhelming. Brother Nick, I know you've been to a lot of football games and soccer games. You can say the same thing about those stadiums. There are times I'm watching a game on television, and whether it's Penn State or Wisconsin, Wisconsin's real bad about it, their music will be so loud you can hear it over the broadcast. And many times they got to tune some things out. And sometimes between even the third quarter and the fourth quarter, they'll just play all these wild songs. Wisconsin plays this one song, and it's called Jump Around, and you got a bunch of idiots in the stands jumping and bouncing like a bunch of rabbits from Brother Thoreau, and I've made fun of them several times. And they make it a point to play that dance music. This is music that speaks to the physicality, the body. In Exodus chapter 32, look at verse 17, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. He said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. Neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome. This is Moses speaking. He says, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. Here Joshua is saying, Moses, it sounds like they're having a war down there. And Moses said, no, they're not having a war. As a matter of fact, I believe Moses has been spending time with God, and I believe in his appearance, you can tell in his countenance, his face would drop, and it's much worse than the noise of war. This is the voice of them that do sing that I hear. Look at verse 19. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. Moses had been walking with God, and he heard the music, the singing, and the dancing. Now they saw it. Here, Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and broke them beneath the mount. Here, he broke all the Ten Commandments at the same time. Why? Because the people were dancing around a false god. As a matter of fact, as they began to pursue the wrong kind of music, and they began to dance and move the body physically, look at verse number 25. When Moses saw that the people were naked. It's amazing how rock music and losing your clothes usually go hand in hand. It's amazing how the dance music and the sensuality that's involved usually go hand in hand. Now, I understand there's children here. I'm going to be very mindful of what I say and how I say it. But you got to be careful with the things that we're allowing into our minds and into our homes. And the things that we're allowing even our children to participate in. I made it a practice, and my children know this. I made it a practice back when I was a teenager. And we still do it to this day. And my son even does this. We like to play sports games. He's got almost every stinking Madden that was made. He plays Madden, or he plays the NBA, or whatever. We make it a point to turn the volume on the television down. Or to go, or back in the day, you could go to settings and you could turn the music off. Today, you can't do that. We turn the music off. Why? Because we don't listen to that filth. We don't listen to that garbage. We want to play a video game. We want to play sports. Many times the music will direct the attitude of what's going on. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15 tells us Satan can make himself into an angel of light. This means that for everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. God offers salvation. Satan offers an experience. You don't have to trust Jesus Christ and Christ alone. He offers an experience. I've heard some people give their testimony of salvation, and I've been concerned when they've shared it. Because they talk about an experience, they don't talk about a decision to trust Christ. They talk about being saved from a car wreck and knowing that God's going to take them to heaven when they die now. Well, being saved from a car wreck and trusting Christ as your personal Savior are two different things. Okay? One's an experience, and one is the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God working on your heart. So God offers salvation. Satan offers an experience. God offers lasting joy while Satan offers instant gratification. God offers love while Satan offers lust. God offers His Word, which we believe is the King James Version, the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. Satan has over 300 counterfeits. You got the NIV, you got the NASB, you've got the New King James, you've got the Revised Standard Version. Listen, if it was the Bible, why did they have to keep revising it over and over again? Just saying. Just a thought. God has His godly music, and just like God has His music, the devil has ungodly music. Now listen, let me make this statement. Pay attention. Just because Christian is in the name does not make it right. Okay? I understand we have a radio program here in town that plays quote-unquote Christian music. There's nothing Christian or godly about a lot of the filth that comes over the radio waves on that channel. Amen. I don't listen to that channel. I've had to listen to it. When I sit inside certain places, I go to get my oil changed and they've got it blasting over there. What's it called? K-Love or something? Isn't that what it's called? Brother Anthony, he listens to it. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. The filth that's on there. Now, just because they say contemporary Christian music does not make it right. And they put Christian in the title to justify the beat that it has. But if that's the case, then why don't we call it contemporary Christian pornography to justify someone's perversion? Or why don't we just call it contemporary Christian cursing to justify somebody's vulgar, filthy mouth? Or how about contemporary Christian alcohol or wine coolers or we call it dry, doesn't have alcohol in it, to justify drunkenness. Now, if we're going to separate from it, we separate from it completely. You see, contemporary Christian music, let's talk about this here, itself, it feeds a charismatic and ecumenical mystical experience. I'm going to use a bunch of words here. I'm going to explain it to you because it's the doctrine of music and the teaching of this. In contemporary Christian music, you're going to find sensual pulsing. The constant breathing into the microphone. The sensuality of it. Okay? That draws the flesh. It does not draw the spirit. When it sounds like somebody's literally making out with a microphone, there's nothing godly about that. The skipping of beats and notes, or the hanging of beats. The building up a climax and then immediately cutting it off. That leads to fleshly things. We call it the tripping of a music pattern. Or even the body jerking. The syncopated dance rhythms. Even using a sound system to add reverb and add electronic modulation to things. To add additional echo and feedback. There are certain ways that you can stimulate the senses and create an emotional experience. Through unresolved chord sequences. Even having the pounding drums in the background and the sensual voices. The rise and the fall of the sound. And then the constant repetition. Create an atmosphere in which charismatic seekers experience an emotional high. And then they fall into a trance-like hypnotization. And they receive any kind of unscriptural message. And many times this is the devil preparing them for signs and wonders, for a false religion. There was several years ago, back in 2016, some of you may remember a tent revival in Burlington, North Carolina. I don't know if you remember or not, it was all pre-COVID. But there was a tent revival over there. I had several of my friends that were texting me and telling me about all the things that was going on. Brother Anthony and I were talking about it at the time. Brother Thoreau and I were talking about it at the time. And there was this great revival that was going on. It was a parachurch movement. It was not one singular church that was heading this thing up. It was just a group of people getting together. Here, during this time, it went over for a month. And many times during this month-long period, many Christians were singing the praises of this revival and saying that it was a third great awakening that was happening. Well, let me assure you, it was not. They would have hour-long altar calls. Which may sound good, but in reality, it was being fueled by contemporary Christian music. You say, how do you know that? Because I went back and researched it. I found out some of the songs that were being sang. And just because they didn't have the drums and just because they didn't have the electric guitar didn't mean it wasn't contemporary. They were taking contemporary music and setting it to piano and saying it was okay. They would sing the song here, Send the Rain. Some of you may have heard that song. It is a song that's been sang in several churches. It was a song that several people I went to college with was one of their favorites. As I've grown in the Lord and I realize there's some things not right about that song specifically, I find out that it was written by a guy named Aaron Butler, and his Christian rock band, Old School, popularized the song. Now, there are churches and there are groups that sang here. The Rochesters came and sang several years ago. And we talked to them on the phone about several different things. And we told them, and Brother Thoreau had me call them and talk with them and get everything scheduled out, lined, and ready to go. And I talked to Brother Rochester, and I told him, I said, we're not going to tell you what to sing or how to sing as far as different things. We know you're going to follow the Lord's leading, but we would ask that you don't sing this song, Send the Rain. He told me, he said, I've never been asked not to sing a particular song, but we'll respect you and your wishes. I said, I appreciate that. It's a contemporary Christian song, but we don't sing contemporary Christian music in our church. We had a great conversation. And they sang wonderful music while they were here. But for him to say that we've never been told that tells me that other churches don't take the stand that we take today on godly music. And the stand that we have taken for years, might I say. Here, they would sing this song for over an hour. And people would begin to break out into emotionalism. They begin to weep. And then at that time, the altars would begin to feel. People would pray and pray and pray. The Bible tells me that the foolishness of preaching leads to repentance. Not the foolishness of music. Amen. Now there are times, yes, where the Spirit of God will move during a song service. But it's not going to fuel a month-long revival. The preaching of the Word of God will fuel a revival. We've seen that happen here at this place. We had a 2-week long revival based on the preaching of the Word of God, not based on music. Okay? Here, the song Send the Rain actually promotes a Pentecostal latter rain heresy. And you can write that down and study it later on. We don't have time for it. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. I know exactly what I'm talking about, how we would sing contemporary songs for over an hour. There was a guy who was a contemporary artist at one time at a church camp that I'd gone to. His name was Steve Green. And he had sung contemporary songs to piano. We called them 7-11 songs because it's the same 7 words sang 11 times. Just constantly singing the same thing over and over again. What were they doing? They were trying to generate a moving of the Spirit. This is emotionalism. I remember we would sing for hours at camp. And then the weeping would begin. As a lost child, I remember weeping uncontrollably. And I'd go down to the altar with my youth group and my youth director, the preacher's son, or the pastor's son of the church that I had gone to. He came down and he said, I could tell the Lord's working on your heart. What would you like me to pray with you about? And I looked at him, I said, I don't even know why I'm crying. And there's tears pouring down my face. Because I had no idea why I was crying. That's emotionalism. You see, if it were the Spirit of God would have convicted with a statement. There would be no confusion about what God is trying to do in our hearts and in our lives. When God convicts us, God deals directly with us and specifically with us. There's no confusion. Most of the praise and worship that goes on in our churches, unfortunately, is nothing more than emotionalism. Now listen, I have no problem raising your hand. I raised my hand this morning while we sang, I've been blessed. I raised my hand tonight during Daisy's song. I have no problem people raising their hand. But emotionalism will not fuel this church. Emotionalism will not fuel the direction of this leading of the Spirit of God. Some think that in order to have a good service, they got to have goosebumps all over their arms. Be careful. You're trying to promote an experience. Okay? We're trying to generate a spirit. The Bible says try the spirits. See whether they be of God. We'll get to that verse in a minute. Now, what is operating this charismatic ecumenical movement is definitely another spirit when we look at the Word of God. Take your Bibles, go to 1 John chapter 4. Let me show you. 1 John chapter 4. Don't worry, I'm paying attention to the time. It's barely been 33 minutes. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. That means don't believe, just because you're in church, be careful. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. I've been in some churches And the Spirit's not been God in the church. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Look at verse 2. God tells us exactly how we can know if it's the right kind of Spirit. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. All right? Hereby know ye. Adler, turn around. Pay attention to me, bud. You're going to distract Mackenzie. She needs this. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. If they're professing Jesus Christ as Lord, then it comes from God. Be careful. Make sure that the music is very clear and descriptive of who they're talking about and what they're talking about. But, look at verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Is it in the world? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us, and we have this thing called discernment. And the Holy Spirit of God will discern between the right and the wrong kind of music. Verse 2 tells us, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Then verse 3 says, those that do not confess Christ is not of God. Which meaning those that are very specific, those that are very particular, dealing with the doctrines of Jesus Christ, the spirit, the hymns that we sing here in your hymn book, deal with the doctrines of Jesus Christ. The psalms that we sing here in the book of Psalms, deal with the doctrine of Christ. The spiritual songs that you hear from the platform, the pulpit here at our church, she sang a song, I walked with him today. Specifically speaking of Jesus Christ. This morning's song, I have been blessed. There was no confusion as to what that was about. It was about the country that we live in, the God that we serve. He's the rock that I lean on. There's no confusion. Very clear, very specific. But that music out there that is not clear, it's not specific. It is general. Many times, that is not of God. Now, once we establish that contemporary Christian music represents another spirit, it is easy to see that it has no place whatsoever in a Bible-believing church. God has commanded His people to touch not the unclean thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He says, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you unto myself. So if we're going to come out from the world and we're going to be separate, that means we don't touch the things that have been contaminated by the world. Let me give you some, one of the many great problems with Christian rock and contemporary Christian music is that the message is typically vague and abstract, and eventually it becomes meaningless. It's this idea of relativity. It means whatever you want it to mean. Be careful, that's emotionalism. That's vague. This opens the door to be interpreted to believe absolutely whatever you want, which then opens the door and becomes a bridge to the world and to what we would refer to as the emerging church, that one world religion. Okay? There's a contemporary Christian artist. Her name is Laura Story, and she sings a song called Blessings. I have heard this song in several independent Baptist churches. And years ago, before we realized what was going on, this song was sang here. Brother Thoreau and I met on several different things about some contemporary Christian music that had slipped in unawares. And we got to be mindful because sometimes things slip in unawares. Wolves in sheep's clothing. And we had to clear cut some of our music, get rid of some things. And this was one of those songs, and it speaks of blessings. The phrase, what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And it may sound spiritual, but it's vague, it's abstract, and it's not godly. Josh Groban is known for his love songs. Any of you ever heard of the name Josh Groban? He sings a lot of love songs, okay? I've heard a lot of his songs sang at weddings. But he also sings quote-unquote contemporary Christian songs. And some of his songs that I've heard at weddings, I have also heard sang in church referencing God. Now, to have a vague and an abstract and a generalistic song, you can have it mean the love of your life, but you can also have it mean Jesus Christ, because it's vague. One of his songs, I'll read it to you here, is a song that I've heard at weddings, and I've also heard it in a church. It's entitled, You Raise Me Up. Here's the verse, because it only has one verse, and then you sing the chorus 15 times, literally. That's exactly how he sings the song. It says, when I am down, and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come, and my heart burdened be, then I am still, and wait here in the silence, until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Now, did anybody hear the word Jesus in that? Did anybody hear God? Did anybody hear it reference anybody at all? There's no names that's given. It's very general to you. You. Which means it's vague and it's abstract in its meaning, and it could be generalized to any kind of situation. This is what we're talking about. These are the bridge songs. These are the worldly music. This is stuff that gets crept in because it's emotional. And I interpret it as being referencing to God. I don't care what you interpret it as. What was it meant for? It was written by Josh Groban. It was meant to be a love song. Singing to a spouse on a wedding day. You raise me up. And people have over-spiritualized it and sensationalized it to the point to where it's become a contemporary Christian song. It's generic, it has no substance, and it's vague. And according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. So it's either going to promote Christ or it's not. And if it doesn't promote Christ, then it is generic and Antichrist. And that is where a lot of the contemporary Christian music comes from. Are we following along? Okay. Now, back way, way a long time ago, back in the 80s, the 1900s, you young people. Contemporary Christian music, there was a guy who was heavy and high ranking in the movement. And he made this statement. It's a long quote. Let me read it to you. He said, perhaps it is true that music is an art form. But as Christian musicians become more and more artistic, the lyrics of contemporary Christian music become more and more obscure until they retain virtually no substantial spiritual value. This is what a guy who wrote contemporary Christian music said in the 80s. How much worse has it gotten since then? That was 40 years ago. Okay? He says, it has become more and more obscure, it retains virtually no substantial spiritual value. Lyrics, and by the way, the lyrics are the words, not the music. Lyrics are the words, okay? When you look here in your hymn book, lyrics are the words that you read on the page. It's not the melody and the harmony and the rhythm. It's not the music, okay? It's the words. For those that say, it's the words that matter, okay? Let's talk about the words. Lyrics become so allegorical that a truly spiritual lesson is imperceptible, meaning you can't even discover it. This is what he said now. This indefiniteness opens the door to many incorrect understandings concerning the point of a particular song, like the one I just read, which fosters the acceptableness or the acceptance of teachings which are unbiblical and even anti-biblical. This is what a songwriter of contemporary Christian music said about contemporary Christian music. The very music he was writing about. He knew that they were deceiving God's people. Because all we are like sheep led to the slaughter. Because many times Christians, we become so susceptible to, well, if my church allows it, then it must be okay. Now listen, God gave you a mind to think for yourself based on the Word of God. And if you walk with God, you'll be able to determine the right kind of music and the wrong kind of music. If you listen to the right kind of music and all you do is fill your mind with the right kind of music, you'll be able to spot worldly music instantly. There are several times where my wife and I, we have the Clark family that plays before the services. There's several songs that we've had to remove from the playlist because we found out that they have taken contemporary songs and put it to a piano. Now, I know Brother Charlie Clark. I've met Brother Charlie Clark. He pastors a Solid Rock Baptist Church in Newark, New Jersey. I met him at youth conference in Louisville. I think you were there that year. I don't know, maybe you were there. I don't remember who was there. Preached a message on prayer that night. I met him, and I talked with him. And the man has a desire to serve God, and he leads his church. But some of the children, some of the grandchildren, have allowed contemporary Christian music and brought it in and played it to a piano, and it's crept in unawares. Are you listening? Okay. We've got to be mindful of what we are allowing. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." There are times my wife and I will be listening to different tour groups, different Bible colleges. Most of our music comes from Bible college tour groups and churches. It's church-based music. Just got some music here recently. Brother Thoreau, we went up to Calvary and heard the Hart Family, a church-based music group that's touring. Phenomenal music. Every bit of it's spot on. Perfect. Scriptural. And we've got to be mindful of this. And there's times where my wife and I have heard certain songs from tour groups. And I've told her, I said, I don't think that's our flavor. And there have been times where we've heard a new song. And we've had to research things to make sure that it would line up biblically. Because we want to do everything above reproach. Okay? I want to make sure that we're putting the right thing. Because everything that's sang here from this pulpit is something that you're going to begin to want to have in your life. Something that you're going to want to begin to soak up and try. We've got to make sure that we're putting the right kind of music in front of God's people. But what happens is people try to justify their contemporary Christian music. And they try to use this line. And we had a guy here in our church years ago who tried this line with me. They try to say our hymns used to be contemporary at one time. They try to say that our hymns came from top common tunes that were used at bars and used as jingles back in those days. Listen here. Singing Amazing Grace isn't going to want to make you go out and go dance and get drunk and have a good time. But singing some of these contemporary Christian songs with the body jerking and the gyrating of the hips and the constant bebopping and moving around is going to cause you to want to pursue the ungodly music. Okay? So that reference doesn't fly. Now, let me give you some principles. Go back to Psalms chapter 40. Let's look at your Bible. I've given you a lot. I told you I was going to unload some things. It's going to be a little thicker tonight. Psalms chapter 40, verse number 3. Let's read this verse again. It says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Let me give you five principles that you ought to use in your life to determine if it's the right kind of music according to your Bible. Okay? Five principles. Number one, is it different from the world's song or does it sound like the world? Number one, is it different from the world's song or does it sound like the world? You say, where do you get that from? Verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth. That means when God saved me, he changed the song I was singing. He changed the music that was coming out. I was no longer singing the songs of the world. The Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Queen, the rock and roll, all the different stuff. Okay? And I grew up with every single genre of music in our house. Is it different from the world song, or does it sound like the world? Principle number two, does it glorify God or man? Does it glorify God or man? Verse 3, He hath put a new song into my mouth, even praise unto our God. Not praise about man, not lifting up a person, but lifting up God, praising God. Very specific in its verbiage. Very specific. Not generic, not interpreted as something else. No. Interpreted. Don't worry, I teach your children. Is it different from the world song, or does it sound like it? Number two, does it glorify God or man? Number three, does it reflect Christianity or Christ-likeness? Does it reflect Christianity? Notice your Bible says, many shall see it. Meaning it ought to look like what it should be, and that's Christ-like. You say, well, it sounds Christ-like. Does it? Just because it's put to a piano doesn't make it Christ-like. Okay? It's got to look the part. It's got to see. One of the things I challenged people with before in the past was their contemporary Christian music. I told them, take and put your song and the music video of your contemporary Christian song on a screen and mute it. And put CMT or VH1 or MTV on the other screen and mute it. And see if the way they're dressed and the way they're dressed are different from one another. Or if they look alike. See if you can tell them apart. Because most of the time you can't. You look at these contemporary Christian music CDs that are up at Mardell's or the Christian bookstore. And you're going to see these guys that got these gauges and giant earrings in their ears and in their lips and in their mouth. And you'll see these spiked up hair and you'll see these ragged, torn clothes. They look like they got in the fight with a wood chipper and lost. Looks no different than the world. Does it reflect Christianity or Christ-likeness? Number four, does it cause you to respect and fear God and your authorities? Notice, many shall see it and fear. You listen to any rap song today, it's going to cause rebellion against the authority. Death to the cops. It calls them pigs and all kinds of other names. Does it respect or fear God and the authorities? And then number five, does it draw others to Christ or does it justify worldliness? Well, this song, it just means so much to me because it accepts me for who I am. Be careful. Does it draw people to Christ? Or does it justify us in the state that we're in? Notice, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. The right kind of music is going to move people to trust in the Lord. Not just to cry. Not just to get emotional. Okay? The right kind of music is going to move people to make a decision for God. That's why when we have an invitation, she plays the piano. Many times she'll play, "Just As I Am," without one plea, "But that thou, God, shouldst die for me." Sometimes she'll play, "Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died." Sometimes she'll play, "There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one." Yes, there's room at the cross for you. These are songs that draw people to Christ. These are songs that promote decisions to be made for the Lord. They're not generic. A good standard to live by. We've said this before, and Brother Throw said it when he was pastor here, is if it's not allowed on this fundamental platform, then it ought not to be allowed in your fundamental mind. Brother Jeff Owens used to say that all the time. He worked for Brother Hiles years ago at Hiles Aronson College and at First Baptist Church in Hammond. If it's not allowed in this fundamental platform and in this fundamental church, then it ought not to be allowed in our fundamental minds. Because when there's trash in, trash is eventually going to come out. When you allow your mind to be subjected to the things of this world. Then, sooner or later, you're going to begin to justify certain things. I've heard churches, and I've seen it on my phone, a live view of churches, and they sing full-on country songs during their service. But it sets a piano and it mentions God. Okay. Jesus Take the Wheel by Carrie Underwood. There were people that would stand up and sing that in church just because it was put to piano. I could name a bunch of other songs if I want to make people mad. But the truth is, we've got to be mindful of our music. Just because you used to listen to it as a lost person and it moved your spirit, or your soul, should I say, because it wasn't your spirit, it was your soul. It moved your emotions, doesn't justify it and doesn't make it right. Be very, very careful. And by the way, even 4th of July is coming. Be careful. The songs that are sang, make sure they're biblical. Make sure they promote Jesus. Some songs are sang in the glory of patriotism, but they ain't got nothing to do with God. Some drunk wrote it. Okay? You'll be mindful. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. Be careful about your music. Your music is going to tell a lot about you as a child of God.